It's all good crack. Is everybody comfortable enough in here today?
Things in London later on, if they are, don't be surprised. give them the brutal truth about how cheap living is in London or isn't. Well, it's 11 o'clock. Let's start. Let's close our eyes and we'll have a wee word of prayer. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon us. Lord, thank you for the weather. Thank you for the sunshine, for the hall being, well, pretty much done, Lord, for all the work that has gone into it, Lord. I pray that you would bless it and preserve it, Father. And I pray you, too, to be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they are, that you would speak to each one of us through the preaching of your word, this little bit of time in your presence, and the reading of your word, and even the songs and the fellowship, Lord. Just lay these things at your feet. Pray that you would do with them as you will, Lord. Please work on us this service. Don't be done with us, Lord. Just please, I pray, go up and down the hall. There's space beside each one of us just for you. And I pray that you would be there, Lord. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, most of all for saving our souls. And Lord, we leave these requests and our private prayer requests, Lord, at your feet. We pray that you would grant them according to your will. Mostly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And sing a song. Amen. And number 13 in the wee books. Number 13 in the wee book. Is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Good old.
Thank you.
those little black books away for a moment or two at least, and go to number 54. Number 54 in the big books. If anybody has a hymn that God put in their hearts for this morning, I am more than happy to entertain it, and we'll ask for those whenever we're done with the next ones.
Grandest thing through the ages, from this
seated. Norman, come on ahead and go there.
Morning's reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hans. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young an old lion, the viper, and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. I go right before the them in a table and note it in a book, that it may for the time to come for ever and ever. But this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us, right things speak unto us, smooth things prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word, the trust in oppression, the perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shared to take fire from the earth, from the hearth, or to take water without out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. For he said, no, for ye will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on the hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Will the Lord give you the bread of adversary and the water of affliction? Yet shall not thy teaching be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And the ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left, ye shall defile also the covering of thy garden. of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of the molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a monstrous cloth, and shall say unto it, Get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy feet, and thou shalt sow the ground with it withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shaw and with the fan. There shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up a breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wounds. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sigh of vanity, with the sieve of vanity. There shall be a bridle in the jaw of people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down off his arm, and the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And in every place there be ground a staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him. It shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Topheth is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Amen.
And some goodness, that could almost be reading from today's news. Just that first couple of verses that Norman read there talks about people trusting in things and stuff and not the Lord, and the Lord telling them that the end of it will not be so good. Anyway, good reading. That sort of 10% Steve and 90% you this morning. Amen. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one of the little red prayer lists. If you look at the door, there's white, and if you look just over Will's shoulder, there's blue, and then if you hold the prayer list like that, it's supposed to be in honour of the Queen's...
Was
in Mexico. There was just Mexico. Like, please make sure you get one. Please do give it a minute, even once a week. Take you like 5 minutes to read through that in the presence of God. God knows all the names, even if you don't. But please do take one and spend a little bit praying for the folks in it. We appreciate your prayers, maybe a little bit closer to home, for the work that's been done. You may have noticed the windowsills are now on. There's a little bit more painting just to do in here and all the white wood, and then we'll pretty much be done in here, isn't it? Except I think a wee bit at the front, but don't touch it, Lee, in case it breaks. I'm only joking. That's not for coming off again, Norman, is it? Amen. So, and we don't expect to see any coffee mug stains on it either, any coffee rings or tea rings on it either, but who knows what will happen in the fullness of time. Amen. The only one that really springs to mind at the moment is Will's granny is due for surgery in about 2.5 weeks' time, is it?
27th.
It's 3.5 weeks' time. Please do pray for her. That's both knees or just one knee?
One knee.
One knee at a time, okay. So please do pray for Mary Ann. We were praying for Frank, and as you can see, he got here. Is it warm in London at the moment?
Yeah, actually, better weather here than in London.
Of course it is. Although I thought it would be a lot hotter in London, seeing it's a bit, it's not as close to heaven as Derry is. But there you go. Well, we're glad to have Frank. By all accounts, he saw his house from here. Did you ever hear that saying, "I can see your house from here"? I saw a photograph that Frank took with a circle around his house as he came into land. There you go. The only time I ever got that was when I was like 14 or 15 years old in the Sea Scouts, and we managed to get a ride in an Army Gazelle helicopter. And we flew down the M1, and I saw my house from the helicopter. So that was good. That's my one claim to seeing my house from the sky. That's it. Amen. I think that's about that. Pat and Steve send their regards. They've already told me that they have private prayer requests. Does anybody here still have private prayer requests? 1, 2, 3, okay. Monica, Link, Will, Mona, Sharp, okay. Ready. So that's about that. Is there anything else we need to add? Yes, Mrs. Fay.
Bonnie Wilcox's eye surgery is tomorrow.
Oh.
It's under our name.
Well, it'll not be. Bonnie Wilcox, that's a lady in Monica's folks' church, has a detached retina, and she's been waiting for surgery for a month.
Right.
6 weeks, goodness. Yeah. I hope it all goes according to plan. Please do pray for Bonnie. It's no fun heading for surgery. Being there, it's not fun. Anyone that's been in hospital anytime soon, it's not a place you sort of pull on your best clothes and walk into with a sigh. So please do pray for Bonnie. I'm sure there's many others there. I don't know what's going on in the corridors of power in this country or any other country. And to be honest with you, I have a notion that most of the people there haven't a clue either. But we are commanded to pray for them, so don't forget to pray for our leaders. Even if you just want to pray for a good toe up their rear end or for their neck to be wrong, some of them certainly need it. In fact, most of them probably do. And we're always commanded to pray for Israel. Whether you like them or not, you are commanded to by God. It's always a good thing to get into the habit of doing what God commands you to do. Amen. Have we word of prayer? You get a prayer for us, Ron?
Yes.
Okay. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, for the day that you've given us, that we may use it, Lord, and use it mightily to correct us, to instruct us, Lord, and to guide us, Lord, as well, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. And thank you for your manifold love that you give to us daily, Lord, and that you dispense your love and your grace and many different gifts you've given us as well, Lord. Pray for our land, Lord, give wisdom, Lord, and save our leaders, Lord, with Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, and the people in the assembly, Lord, save their souls mightily and powerfully, and guide them to thy path, Lord, to thy wisdom, Lord, as well, Lord. Pray for our missionaries, Lord, that have been told to meet their needs, Lord. Help them, pray for the organization we support, Lord. Remember, thanks for God, bless them and guide them and give them what is needed as well, Lord. Pray for the organizations we support as well, Lord, we pray for as well, Lord. Remember, release the national to doors, kids for schools and Christian Institute. Bless them and keep, Lord, meet their need and supply their wants, Lord, and guide them and protect them, Lord. And take out any tutors that may be in their ranks, Lord. Save them also, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Give them a heart as to dispense the gospel, Lord. Help them and guide them, Lord, and Lord, and draw us closer to walk with thee for thy honor and for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, again, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Did anybody come up with a hymn that they'd like for us all to sing? More than happy to entertain. If not, I've got a book full of them right here. Mrs. Bradfield. Anybody else got one? Frank, have you got one that's burning a hole in your hymn book? Or Ling, do you have one? It's not school. If you don't have one, that's fine. You're not going to get a black mark against your name. Go ahead, Mrs. Bradfield.
105
in the big hymn books. 105, all that thrills my soul, will remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
sing another one? Don't everybody look so excited and so happy? 301. 301, sweetheart. 301. Let's all stand as we sing. This morning, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. I'm only going to read about 16 verses to you. I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject this morning of no pews at the foot of the cross. There are no pews at the foot of the cross. John chapter 5. You may actually... Well, you are actually following me in my Bible readings. Most of my messages I come across as I study and read and make notes. And sometimes it could be a week or two old. It just depends on how the Spirit leads and one thing and another. But a lot of people have different schemes for reading through the Bible. This is my scheme. I am, generally speaking, I'm reading from Genesis to Psalms. I'm also reading from Psalms until Malachi, so that's the Old Testament cut in two. I'm also reading from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I'm reading from Acts right the way through to Revelation. Those four places I'm constantly reading on and advancing through. Other people have other schemes. In fact, I think even on the front of many Bibles, there is a way to get through your Bible in a year. As long as you are reading it, you will get through your Bible. Amen. Let's spend a minute or two in the verses of John chapter 5, 1 to 16. No queues at the foot of the cross. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It's the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Amen. No queues at the cross, or at the foot of the cross. There are a couple of verses, but and verses number 4 talks about the first person in the afterwards, and one thing and another. And verse 7 talks about when he is going to the water, that someone else jumps the queue and gets down before him. But we're speaking about no queues at the foot of the cross. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Please open our understanding of the scriptures as we spend this time in them. And please use them, Lord, to refine us and to work upon us and to strengthen us, and even, Lord, to comfort us and to guide us. Lord, we just love you and thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the great sacrifice that he made for us all on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And thank you, Lord, that even now people are accepting not only your Son as Savior, but also as Lord in their lives. Please speak to each one of us, Father, and please open our eyes. Please be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. I just pray especially for Pastor Aswith in Black Creek over in America, and Phil Seeley and his family, Pastor Seeley, and Grace Bible, Lord, for Ed Bissett, and for the many other men that are standing to be counted for the cause of Christ, and for those that hear. Pray, Lord, that you would work in all of our hearts greatly. And don't stop, Lord. Don't ever be done with us. We leave these things at your feet, Father, and pray that you would guide us through this next few minutes. Amen. 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 If everybody heard this story before, that doesn't mean the service is going to get any shorter. I am going to keep and read on through it. This is a well-known story, the angel troubling the water. And that it's an unusual thing. I suppose some people might even liken it to Maggiore and what's that place in France that was Lourdes, that's right, where people go for healing, so-called, and most of the time it's just a time for a get-together. But in this case, there was a pool by the sheep market called Bethesda. It's something to do with house. I must actually look up what the rest of that word means. But an angel, quite literally, used to walk, fly down through the water. Nobody obviously could see it, but the water was troubled. And whoever was first into the water was healed. Absolutely healed. Now this instance happened on the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, men are pretty much prohibited from working. And this is not the Sabbath. Yesterday was the Sabbath. Today is the Lord's day. This is the day that we have chosen to worship the Lord on the day that he was resurrected, the first day of the week. But this was the Sabbath day. And all through the Old Testament, and we've spoken about it quite a few times as over the past months and years, it is a sign to God and a sign to the people around about you how much you consider God in your life if you bother to turn up at church. That's it. And many times, especially the greatest of which was when the children of Israel were conquered by Babylon, God gave them warnings for years, for decades. He sent prophets after them. Jeremiah wept. He was called the weeping prophet. He had such a desire to see his country and his people saved from this. God said, because you have neglected the Sabbath, you have not turned up at church, you have not read your Bibles, you have not said your prayers, you have not brought your sacrifices and your tithes, I am going to give the land 70 years of Sabbaths. So for 70 years the land was ruined and lay fallow because the king of Babylon came in and wrecked the place, took the best of the people and all of the riches for himself. And that, of course, is where, if you want to read a little bit more up on it, you read the books of Daniel and Ezekiel. And if you want to read about the restitution of Israel, you start then in Nehemiah and Ezra. But this happened on the Sabbath day, and the Jewish people would get very, when it says Jews and it's capital J, it normally means the rulers of the Jews. They get very bent out of shape. You're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath. Remember that? Remember one of them said that? But all around this pool, on the Sabbath day, I'm just trying to set the scene, lots of sick folks, lots of folks that were disabled, were blind. Maybe they had palsies or injuries to limbs that had withered away. And we see it happen even today. I remember my mother having a stroke, and she really lost the use of her arm. And after a while, you know yourself, if you don't exercise, your tendons will shorten, and it'll be very, very difficult to move your limbs. That's why there's always a lot of physio for people that are bedbound. A bunch of these people here was known far and wide. And Jesus comes across this place. And he sees a man that's been ill for 38 years. Doesn't say he was sat there for 30 years. He just knew that he had this physical problem for 38 years. And he was just waiting his turn. He obviously couldn't walk. Whether it was a back injury, whether it was badly broken legs, who knows? He couldn't walk. But he lay there waiting for his turn. Waiting for the waters to be troubled by this angel, so that he could get himself into the water and he could be healed. Now, 38 years old back in the day would have been quite an old man. Jesus was in his early 30s. His mother, I am sure, was in her mid to late teens whenever she had him. She would have been about 48. That was old. Wasn't the health care, etc., etc. Mind you, they were probably living healthier lives, but Imagine being ill for 38 years and many of those years waiting to get to that toe to be completely healed, and just as you're about to put your foot in or your hand in or throw yourself in, just as the Word of God said, there was always somebody else beating to it. He was just too slow. And he had no one to help him. Thankfully, this Sabbath, I want you to bear in mind that even though men are forbidden by God to work on the Sabbath, it's man's rest day. It's not God's rest day. God can do anything at any time. And we see that the Lord comes up and he asks the man, would you like to be made whole? And even as I was reading this, I got thinking, you know what? God is asking everybody, even Christians, would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be made whole? And immediately, the man starts going, oh, but you know what? I'm too slow and I can't make it into the water. Other people are faster than me and better than me, and I can't make it into the water in time. And more than that, I'm on my own. There's nobody to help me. There's like three or four excuses that the man makes for why he shouldn't be made whole. And I know, even us today, we have reasons why. We maybe have done something, we've said something, we've been somewhere where we shouldn't have been, and it's a shame to us, or it's hurt us deeply. And we have a reason for not being whole in our hearts. But I want for you to know that there is nothing impossible with God. There's no hurt, there is no injury that you cannot function with or be healed from if you lay your all at the foot of the cross. Anyway, Jesus just says, you don't have to wait. There's no cure at the foot of the cross. He doesn't say that, I'm saying that. He says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And you need to know that if you have ever been sick, you know when you're well, don't you? Poor Norman here, the workhorse of all the and the brains behind all the work in church, had a bad stomach for a couple of days. And he definitely knew he was sick. I could even tell he was sick. Whenever I went into the hospital just about 2.5 years ago, I knew I was sick. I even looked like I was sick. You know when you're sick. And let me tell you something, friends. Whenever you get well from something, you know about it too. I went to see Dr. Shine about a year and a bit ago, and he stuck pins in me and gave me physio. And all of a sudden, my frozen shoulder started working again. And instead of getting a blinding white pain behind my eyes whenever I did that, I can do that now. You know when you're well. And so he immediately gets up. He feels the strength returning to his legs and he gets up. And he lifts his bed and off he goes. Because God has commanded him. God was working on the Sabbath. Now, sadly, many of our contemporary churches, should I say the churches of the day, are a little bit like the churches, the Jewish church back in the day that Jesus walked and talked on the earth. Even as far back as Malachi, about 400 years before this, Malachi the prophet, God was working through him and speaking through him and leaving instructions for the Jews. And in 400 years, the church had gotten so bad that every single moment in the church was nailed down. You have a list of things you need to do. Nailed down completely. No room for God to work. And in fact, it even got so bad that they introduced a law, they invented a law, that if any man claimed to be the Christ, they knew the Christ was coming. That he was to be put out of the synagogue. Isn't that crazy? How many times, I've had a couple of, we'll call them run-ins with ministers. Whenever we were out knocking on doors and handing out gospel tracts, I had a minister come up to me and said, who gave you the authority to come round here and put gospel tracts in the door? And him with the collar on. I said, really? Really, you're asking me who gave me authority Didn't Jesus say before he went up into heaven to go and preach the gospel to every creature? I came across a Methodist minister when I was out on the Sabbath day in public with a megaphone, because that's bound to be wrong somewhere in the Methodist church. He says, you shouldn't be doing that. You're doing that all wrong. And when I asked him what he was doing up at the shopping center, he said he was doing his shopping on the Sabbath day, which is a whole other thing altogether. And I said, you know what? I like it better the way I'm doing it than the way you're not doing it. And a wee Catholic woman came over to me just 5 minutes ago and told me that just those few words of scriptures that you heard were a real help and a comfort to her. And these are men. Even today, there is no difference. Religious men are religious men, and they have a set of rules and laws. And there's no space in the law for Jesus to work. The law is a teacher. It is to show us we need Jesus. Even today, if Jesus came down preaching the gospel, they would probably put him out of most of the churches in the world. Simply because there's no room for God's grace and God's mercy. And so we see the priests get bent out of shape in this little story, on this account. Because he's carrying his bed, and they had a list of things that you weren't allowed to do. And instead of rejoicing and thanking God that this man, who was well known, he had been there for years, he had been sick for 38 years, he was suddenly walking on his feet, but oh no! They're more bent out of shape about him carrying a bed and finding out who told him to carry the bed than God working this miracle right in the very middle of them. I want to emphasize again that Sabbath, the Sabbath day or the Lord's day, is considered to be a day of rest from our labors. It's not because God demands it, it's because we need it. There's a part of you, your body, your soul, and your spirit. A, you need a rest. Let me tell you, from working weeks and months in Desmond's, and even here without a day's rest, there comes a time when a day off, it seems like the greatest of holidays. 2 days off is amazing. On a long weekend, we're in for overtime over the weekend. I spoke with the boss about it. We'll get time off and leave. There comes a time when you need a break. There's a reason in all of nature and everything. There's only one place the 7-day cycle is mentioned. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. That's where it was instituted. Work 6 days by all means. You need a day off. And whenever you're resting, this physical part of you, the spiritual part of you, needs to be nourished and guided and directed and chastened even, or straightened out. Comforted, strengthened, edified, all of that. I don't know what's going on in your heart and your mind today, and I'm mentioning many, many things. One of them is definitely for you, at least one. But that day is set aside for us to rest. But in order for us to rest, someone has to work. And the Holy Spirit works. Jesus is working. How many people sitting in church are cursing the minister for rambling on? Instead of leaving it at a 15-minute message, I would feel robbed if I went into a church and only got a 15-minute message. I don't know how the rest of you think. Anybody got a favourite movie? I'm not going to ask you what it is, but do you have a favourite movie that you would roll out on the DVR or the DVD or Blu-ray from time to time and watch? And how long is it? 15 minutes? That's more like 2 hours and 15 minutes. And you've no problem sitting through that. You're going to be spent not an eternity in the movie verse. You're going to be spent eternity in heaven with God. And I'm not going to subject you to a 2 hour and 15 minute message. But it shouldn't be difficult to sit for half an hour or 45 minutes and listen to the word of God. It shouldn't be difficult to sing the praises for the man that saved your souls from the fires of hell forever and ever. God works all day, every day. There's many of people only stop on the Lord's day and have wee thoughts whenever they're separated from the phone and the internet, and maybe their children are in the creche, and they just get a moment or two to shower their heads and just say, well, thank you, God. And while the preacher's rambling on, I would like to give a few words of my own to you. God is always working. Anyway, to the point, there's no queue at the foot of the cross. I am thankful. It would be great if you had the queue to get into Bethel. A lot of my worries would be over. Keep me busy during the week. But there's no queues at the foot of the cross. Saviour, one of his names is also God Almighty, can do anything, anytime, anywhere. Anything we could imagine and far beyond it. And he made everything out of nothing. He even created the laws of physics which we have to live by while we're here. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And that should give the nuclear weapons people something to think about whenever they crack open a few atoms and send those electrons and protons and neutrons flying at the enemy. But that's only the tiny, there's only a few grams of matter actually get converted into energy for all of that nuclear bomb. That is the very power of God holding the universe together. And it's held together by him, which basically means that at any given time, any atom or molecule, its location is known. Its past is known and its future is known. All of your thoughts and even your words and even your deeds are remembered and recorded by God Almighty. And I am thankful for the Christian that he chooses to forget all of them. If everybody all at once cried out to God, and it would just be, I think it would make God's dreams come true. And I say that most respectfully because God wants everybody saved. If everybody in the world that's lost cried out to God sincerely and repented of their sins and asked him to forgive them, he could do it like that. That is his power. Everywhere at once, with everyone at once. People are either being convicted, or they're being edified, or chastened, or comforted, sometimes ignored, because they've just said no to God so many times, but everybody's in God's mind all the time. Doesn't matter the time of the day. Doesn't even matter the day of the week, and it doesn't matter the number of the years on the clock of the person that calls. There is no queue at the foot of the cross. He has invited all men everywhere to come to know him as Savior, and he has the power and the ability to save whosoever will. In computer terms, he has the spare bandwidth. He can do anything and everything. There's no cues for the Christian in the throne room ahead of either. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you know the penalty for going into the presence of God in the Old Testament? If God didn't kill you, the high priest would. That's the penalty for going into the presence of God in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies. There was only one man allowed in once a year to offer a sacrifice for the sins of all of God's people. And that was that. And that was to signify that one sacrifice for sins forever paid by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. If anybody else dared to go in, they were put to death. There are accounts of, I think it was Aaron's sons, they didn't make the incense the way God instructed them. And they approached the Holy of Holies, and fire actually came out from the ground, from the Holy of Holies, and burned them to dust in their clothes. Burned them to ashes. Killed them. People that looked upon the Ark of the Covenant, I think, was it the Philistines or one of the peoples that conquered God's people because they were going off the rails? They looked into the Ark of the Covenant and many of them were struck down. They were made very, very sick and got so bad that they made a sacrifice and put it in the Ark and sent the Ark away on two cattle. On a cart. There was one man, I think it was Uzzah, his name was. And he was walking alongside this cart, and it went to fall, and he went to put his hand against it to steady it. He didn't even touch it. But that was his intention, and he was struck dead by God. David's dead. And you know what God gives to us now? He gives to us permission, because we're saved, to go boldly onto the throne of grace in prayer to the very presence of God, your heavenly Father. If you're saved, and if you're not, God wants you that wants to be your heavenly Father. And to just unload everything that's in your heart. Tell him everything. More than that, he has a listening ear. And you can talk to him about stupid things. You can talk to him about TV, although in all honesty, if you're talking to God about TV, there will not be too many things you can talk to him about that's on TV at the moment. He might just say to you, you know what, Mark, how's about you talk to me about something important instead of what the BBC or ITV or Channel 4 is trying to force down your throat? You can talk to God about everything. Your shopping, your clothes, your bills, the church, the people in church, people at home, your neighbors. You can talk to, you can even get Joe Biden. You can talk to God about Joe Biden as well, about Vladimir Putin, about Xi Jinping, about, I can't remember, who's the guy in Ukraine? Zelensky. Is that right? You can talk to God about him. You can talk to God about each and every one of the Ukrainians. The Russians, the Chinese, the Americans, the British, the Africans, the Europeans, the Mexicans, the Peruvians, everybody. And God hears them. If you have a genuine burden upon your heart for anything, talk to God about it. And you don't have to wait for a specific day in the year. It says you can come boldly through Jesus Christ. That means when you get up in the morning, thank you, God, for another day. Honestly, if you pray honestly, that is you entering in through the throne of grace. Whenever you're praying for your food, you talk to him again, Lord, please bless our food. That is you coming boldly before the throne of grace and asking for God's blessing on your food. As you're driving down the road, Lord, I pray for patience and wisdom, because if you give me strength, I'm going to wring the neck of the next guy that cuts me off in the car. You can pray for things like that. Pray for bargains. Pray about your money. Pray about your parents, your brothers, your sisters. Pray about everything. And you can pray the whole day long. And you don't have to be over on your hands and knees. You can actually pray with your eyes open. And I would recommend you doing that if you're driving or if you're walking. Because if you don't, you'll hit something. It'll be sore in the car than it will be if you're walking, but it'll still hurt. You and me and Charlotte and Will and Norman and Monica and Link and Frank and Pat and Steve and anybody and everybody else can all pray at the one time to God, and he'll hear us. It all depends what you're praying and whether he's going to let you have it or help you or not. Because I remember praying for years, Lord, as I was in a lottery syndicate in work. I said, Lord, you know what? If I ever won the lottery, I'd buy a fancy sports car and park in the director's parking spot. And then I came across the wee verse that says, not to ask. You have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss to consume it upon your lusts. So I stopped praying for the sports car, and I never had to worry about it. In fact, even after that, and the Lord said to me, Mark, you shouldn't even be a part of a lottery syndicate. So I respectfully withdrew from it. And they said, what are you going to do if we win the lottery? I said, whenever you, and we all disappear. I said, I'm just going to go to Dennis Desmond. I'm going to say, I will take all of their wages and keep the department running. Otherwise, I'm away too. So everybody wins. Only I win the honest way and the good way. The Word of God says there's no cue there. He tells us to come boldly. You know what boldly means? anytime. And you're welcome. That is God's invitation to you to pray about anything, anytime. And more than that, there are blessings to be had when you do what he says. And there's no cue for those either. When God says things in, like, it's not in the bathrooms anymore, but maybe we'll have to get it up, Isaiah 40 and 31. Does anyone know what it says? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. And that hit me so hard a few years back. I had to preach a message on it, because you can get past so much when you do things God's way. It's a little bit like an eagle flying over a traffic stop. Doesn't have to show its passport or driving license. Doesn't have to wait in the queue for anybody else. It just flies on over. It glides over the potholes. It glides over the crossroads. It glides over the give way signs and the traffic lights and the zebra crossings. Those things don't stop the eagle. And that's what God has for us. And just because I'm doing what God says and God has given me a blessing or he's helping me not be affected by many of the things that are going on in the world, that doesn't mean I've used up all of God's blessings. They're still there for you too. There's no cue for that. And they don't run out if you don't get in time. God is infinite in every sense of the word. And he's not going to run out of a few herbs of power or a few divine blessings simply because somebody else was blessed. Let's see what the rest of my notes say. One of the other ones is Philippians 4, and I've used it a lot. It says that we shouldn't worry about anything, be careful for nothing. But in everything, that's every part of your life, everything that pertains to you, everything you're interested in, that you have an interest in. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Make your requests known unto God with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. In other words, Lord, this is what I'd like, or Lord, this is what I really need, and thank you, Lord, for taking time to listen to me or even answer my prayers. You know what the Bible says? That is the recipe for the peace that passeth all understanding in your heart and mind. It doesn't say money. The Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That doesn't make your life any fuller to have everything the world has to offer and have a gaping black hole in the center of your life that just sucks everything in and maybe hiccups for a moment and seems to be full, but then not very long afterwards it wants more. God said, tell me about everything, and a peace will be yours that nobody else but me can give. And just because I get that does not mean that you can't have it too, or anybody else. Here's another one, and this is an odd one. It says in Malachi, there we go, I knew we were going to get into Malachi. This is what it talks about, being blessed in tithing and giving. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? God says, in tithes and offerings. It says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And here's the promise, though. Bring ye tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Prove me. In other words, take God to task. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amazingly, if you honour God, he will honour you. And there's no need to wait your turn. It's the same with Bible reading. Oh, I can't read the Bible because I know Frank is reading his Bible right now and I have to wait my turn. That's just crazy. The Word of God said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give him liberally and upbraid not. Ask God. There's no cues. Have you done something wrong? Tell it to God. You don't have to wait for, Will was saying, I'm going to have to wait a bit to tell God that I made a mistake, because I know Mark's praying about it and it's going to take him a long time, so I'm just going to have to leave it for a bit. You don't have to. And it's not that you're making a big... It has to get that off your chest. To get right with God. Because when you're saved, there's nothing can take that off of you, not even your own stupid selves, stupid behavior. That can't take away your relationship with God. But it can take away your fellowship. You're walking with God. You're getting the benefit of his presence and the peace in your heart. So confess your sins and don't be waiting for anything else. Just do it. There's no cues. And likewise, whenever it comes to doing something for God, if God has laid it upon your heart, he has prepared you to do it. Don't be waiting for somebody else. It's a lesson that was taught to me in no uncertain term about 5 or 6 years ago, when we used to drive past the Crescent Link. I've mentioned this before, mention it again until it catches on. And I used to say to the folks in the car, there's the biggest church. I don't know if any of you remember the days whenever the only places that you had a bunch of cars parked outside of on a Sunday was church. That used to be it. And then the shopping centres opened up, and of course the droves of people came out to worship at the foot of their God and to offer up their tithes and offerings and one thing and another. I said it for weeks and weeks and weeks. There's the biggest church in Derry, I would say to whomever was in the car. And then one day I said, you know what, every church needs a pastor. And God said, well, you have a big mouth and a megaphone with lots of batteries. Why don't you just go and do that? But what will I say? Well, you're going to get a practice run with the folks in Bethel. Just bring them the same message again. Didn't wait for anybody else, because it would never be done otherwise. And it was a great learning experience and a great opportunity to speak to people and to let people know, even whenever they're in the middle of ignoring God, of thumbing their noses at him, that God can still reach out and touch you, speak in your ear. And who knows over the years what folks went home with. That's a thing that we're going to have to get back to very soon. There is no cure when it comes to service. When God calls and you answer, he will provision you and give you the wisdom and everything that you need to do what he has asked you to do. And he can do it just as well for everybody if we all decided to go and do whatever it is that God has got in our hearts. He can provision us all equally and completely. He always has time for his children. Always. He's always listening to all of our prayer requests. He is always accepting of our sincere thanks. And you know what? We'll get to heaven someday and maybe we'll realize just how much we owe him. And he's always dispatching angels to minister to us. He's always doing his best to help us grow, to make us a better child of God. It's incumbent upon us to put a little bit more faith and trust in him. But he always has time as well for lost people who want to become saved people. Children of the world, the flesh and the devil, that want to become children of God Almighty. And all they need to do, does anybody know what you need to do to get to heaven? Repent of your sins and trust Christ alone as your Savior. Whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is that God's put it upon your heart to do, whatever it is, there's no queuing system. Anybody ever go to the city hall and have the wee ticket machine? You pull a ticket out and they just call your number whenever it's time. It's none of that. None of that whenever it comes to being a Christian and to going on with Christ. It's between you and him. He has provided the wherewithal. And at the very, very end, he makes the same promise to everybody. Everything will work out for the best. If you get saved, and if you do what God asks you to do, that's his final promise. He has provision, strength, comfort, loving hands to catch you and help you and keep you in comfort, all of that. When it comes to God and you, it's not all of us. God and you. God and each one of us. There's no cues. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Does anybody have a song that they would like for us to close the service with today, this morning? Anybody got one?
301,
302,
and
305. 301, 302, and 305. We're definitely in singing form today. 305. That's good for me. Yield not to temptation.
Amen. Don't know the, do we know the sweet will of God? We know the sweet hour of prayer. That's, we could sing all of those things. But we'll do yield not to temptation for now. We'll work up to three at the end. Let's stand as we sing. Preaching and the teaching of your word, the tithes, the offerings, the fellowship, the reading of your word, the studying of your word, even just this time aside from the world, Lord. Pray most of all, Lord, for your will to be done in our lives. Please watch us as we go home. Please keep us safe and sound. And please bring us back at the next appointed time. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. We shake hands. Fellowship before. God bless.